So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to Love After Lockup, Haha, MK. I'm Miss H, and today, Mr. O and I will be talking about the finale, Season 1, Episode 12 of Life After Lockup, where Angela is shocked that Tony cheated on her again. Megan sings about lemons. John makes fun of Shane's packing skills. Marcelino and Brittany have a gender reveal party. Andrea and Lamar leave their fate in the hands of a 5-year-old. And Clint drives Tracy to rehab. All that and Students of the Week, Class Dunces, and Life Lessons. Next week, we will start covering Love is Blind, available on Netflix. And if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks, stay safe, and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O. How are you?
Hanging in there. How about you?
Also hanging in there. I feel like I've been binging a lot of our shows right now as we're prepping for Love After Lockup to be done. Uh-huh. Which, did you also see that it's coming back fairly soon? We have a new season.
Yeah, it says this summer. All new people, it looks like, right?
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
When they say summer, it's usually never June.
No, it's like August.
So August-ish. So we probably have a good 3 or 4 months. So we can definitely get our Love is Blind in.
Yes, certainly. Certainly.
All right. So where do you want to start today?
Let's start with Shane and John and Lacey and the producers in between them. And
oh my gosh, right?
All that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So where we left off, Lacey is trying to kick Shane out of the house. And then at one point she gets annoyed and, well, I mean, she was annoyed the entire time, but she runs out of the house and then Shane follows her. And mm-hmm. then that's where he sees Big Daddy.
Big Daddy's here and you gone. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. I was like, this is starting to sound a little sexual. Are you trying to come on to Shane?
Yeah, I was like, is this a reality show or is this going to be a gay porn? Because I'm not sure which is going to happen. Like,
yeah, it's like, do you want him to leave? Because it kind of seems the opposite. So then as soon as he sees John, Shane walks back in the house.
Uh-huh. And from that point on, it was just stupid jockey guys swinging their dicks at each other was basically the entire segment. Like, it was so annoying.
I think that would have been more interesting.
Like, if they were literally doing that instead of figuratively doing that? Yeah,
right.
Probably.
So Shane and Lacey are arguing basically about the fact that Lacey's been hanging out with John all day. And, mm-hmm. you know, you've been keeping a secret from me. Well, you kept a secret from me. And Lacey's like, well, at least I told you in the same day. You know, you took months.
Which she didn't tell him in the same day. She's been hanging out with John for weeks. Like, wherever long it is, it's not been the same day.
Yeah, Shane didn't even know that John was out of jail.
Right.
Yep, so Shane says that he's more of a man than John will ever be. Okay, let's just stop right there. Based on what?
I don't know.
Like, in no way.
In one way is he's not addicted to drugs.
Okay.
That's the only way. That's all he sees is you're a junkie. How dare this junkie tell me what to do? He's a junkie. That seems to be Shane's entire opinion and thought process of John.
Okay, interesting, because that it would be fair. Mm-hmm. That is the one area that Shane would, quote, win. Because everything else, I mean, John is, we've already talked about, the better looking one. John has a job and a work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
John has not cheated on Lacey. John arguably treats her better. But, you know, Shane also says that he has a relationship with the kids.
Yeah.
And that they love him and they wouldn't want him to leave.
And they call him daddy.
God, that's weird.
It is. All this is fair, but John was being a huge dick.
Oh, he absolutely was.
Like, for no reason.
Right.
And as much as the relation, this made it look like, as much as he's made it sound like, you know, me and Lacey just have this connection and we just, you know, have this thing. We've always been there for each other. She's like my soulmate. This just made it look like, nah, that little bitch isn't beating me. That little guy, I'm not letting that guy get something over me. And so it was a competition with Shane more than it was ever about Lacey.
I can see that. Definitely that's how it was portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
So John, he starts throwing around why he's better than Shane. He says that he'll always be able to make money, unlike Shane, who's a mooch. And then when John starts laughing at him, that's where it just makes it like really cringy and uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, very much so. And he like puts on a hat at some point and like the laughing is just,
yeah, it's like hey.
Yeah, it was a fake laughing, so bad. It also seemed to me, not only was he like rubbing his victory in Shane's face, like, not just that I want Lacey, I need you to know that I beat you and I'm going to rub it in, but also I think he was kind of trying to get Shane to come after him. I think he wanted Shane to come after him so Shane would get locked up and then Shane would no longer be an issue, just the same way Shane was happy that John was locked up. I think he was really trying to bait Shane into physically assaulting him.
Definitely. Because John brings up, and this is like has nothing to do with anything, he's like, you don't even have a suitcase. What kind of man are you that you don't even have a suitcase? Wow, you're pathetic. You know, and it's just saying these kind of very cruel things and just taunting him the entire time.
Right.
It's just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
So Shane actually kind of looks like he's going to cry. And I feel a little bit bad for him that he's got John kind of breathing up on the back of him and, you know, right, just like making fun of him the entire time. But other than that, I don't feel that sorry for Shane.
No, not really. Not really. I mean, he, you know, you play stupid, you know, they always say it, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what Shane's been doing. He's been playing a stupid game this whole time. I feel bad for him because I think he just comes across as being that dense that he doesn't know what's going on. He's just confused by everything in the world.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. So they both don't want to get into physical altercation. And Lacey specifically doesn't want them to get in a physical altercation because she knows that if the cops come,
they're both going to jail.
They're both going to go away. And then she'll have no one. She's going to be alone.
The worst thing possible.
It's like, you know, there's men other than these two.
I don't know that she does.
I don't think she knows that either, but she should know that. Then we have producers or crew, it's hard to tell who, trying to stand between them, like physically stand between John and Shane at this point.
Right. As they're like growling at each other. It's like weird. Ugh, so bad.
It's so weird. So then Shane at some point throws something at John.
I wasn't even thinking. Okay, so the other thing is Lacey was driving me crazy at this point too, because Lacey had said something like, oh, this didn't go like I thought it would. And I was like, it didn't? Because...
yeah, how did you think it was going to go?
If I would have guessed, I don't know these guys very well at all. And if I was going to guess how this would have gone, this is approximately it. Yeah, this is about right.
I think so too.
This is definitely in the realm of possibility. But then, okay, so the thing that bothered me about Lacey the most is she said at some point something to the effect of, well, you know, it was really Shane's cheating that did this, and if he didn't cheat, then none of this would have happened. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I think that's kind of bullshit.
Maybe not at this moment in time, but at some point, absolutely. I agree. Yes, it's not even that Shane's cheating, it's that things are bad between you right now. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like in the future, who knows, if Shane had never cheated, something else would make it so things are bad between you. And then this would have happened.
Right.
Yeah. So she takes off her ring. And then John says he's not trying to be the bad guy. He just wanted to help move things along. I was like, eh.
Yeah. You wanted to be the bad guy. Yeah.
Because you're being kind of an ass.
Yeah. Because there's a way to do that and be like, listen, man, she made her decision. You need to move. Let's go.
Right.
I'm here because, you know, she can't make you move. And, you know, I understand having a bigger physical presence, but he didn't just do that. He rubbed it in big time.
Absolutely. So Shane doesn't know where he's going to go or what he's going to do. He says he's going to stay at a hotel and that he still loves her. And he feels like a fool for sticking by her side. And he just looks, like I said, really pathetic in this whole segment.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the verge of tears, just like sad puppy.
Yeah, he does. And just trying to cover it up with bravado. Saying things like you said, like, I'm a man, bigger man than you'll ever be.
So Lacey then goes back to her defense. She married a stranger. It's like, well, then that's kind of on you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to marry him.
Yeah, there's a lot of in between stranger and I have to marry this person, or I chose to marry this person. I don't know. It just seemed like their whole relationship was a way of her showing John that she was mad at him. Like, and that was about it. Like, their relationship was always about John. And so poor Shane just could never see that.
Right. So she thinks John is her soulmate. I was like, all right. Well, you thought Shane was your soulmate like last season. So I don't know.
I guess they deserve each other, because the last two episodes, I mean, besides John being an addict, he's an addict, seems like a kind of a decent guy. And these last two episodes, it's like, oh no, he's not a decent guy either. He's a raging asshole.
Yeah, agreed. But the one thing we can't really argue, and I think we agree on, is that he's definitely the better looking of the two.
Sure. Yeah. But I don't know. In this one, Lacey did not look very good.
No, she didn't. I think her clothes were very unflattering.
She was wearing clothes that were too small. I was going to say, like, everything, the clothes were not doing her any favors.
Exactly. So then they kind of, because this is the last episode, they give a little update on like where they're at the moment. And I don't know how updated this is, but it says that Lacey and Shane are still married, but living separately. So meaning that they just haven't filed for divorce yet. Right. And she still has the ring in a drawer, which is like, yeah, that makes sense knowing Lacey, because she's just basically trying to keep it as an option for when things go wrong with John.
I don't know. What do you do with the ring? I'm divorced and I have a wedding ring in a drawer, just because I don't know which drawer, but I know I stuck it somewhere.
But you're divorced. That's like one thing, right? She's not even divorced.
But it's like, I'm saying, so just because your wedding ring is in a drawer, that doesn't necessarily mean you're keeping it around because you might pick it back up and put it back on one day. Like,
I don't know. Well, does your ex-wife still have her rings?
As far as I know, I don't know. I don't keep track. She might have thrown it away. I don't know.
You don't throw it away, but I mean,
what do you do with it then? You put it in the drawer. Oh, sure, I gotta pawn it. No.
Yeah, you would like get money for it or something. I'm pretty sure there's websites where you can sell wedding rings and engagement rings and get something for it.
Oh, no, it's not worth anything.
Or you can also like melt it down and repurpose your jewelry.
I don't know.
I think people do that.
I don't care that much about what she did with it that I would even think to ask.
Maybe you should. That should be your homework. I want to know. I want to know now. All right. Who do you want to talk about next?
All right. Let's go to... I don't want to do them yet. Oh, let's go to Andrea and Lamar so we can have the vote.
Yes. Which it turned out exactly as we predicted.
Yeah. Okay. So they did a whole tease for it, right?
But Andrea, first of all, knocks on the door of her own house. And they say, who is it? And she says, it's the Holy Ghost. I was like, she's a very bizarre sense of humor.
She really does. It's a very specific sense of humor that is only hers. But I thought it was really funny how they sat all the kids down and decided, like, this is what we're going to do. And both Nyla and Tennyson is like, that's dumb. Why would we do that?
And it's funny because they totally call them out. And they're like, didn't we already do this before? Like, we already voted on this. Why are we voting on this again?
Why are we doing this again? She's like, we're going to do it now in Utah. And then the way they're going to do it is everybody gets to hold a Bible or something. Yeah. And that's like the conch from Lord of the Flies. And whoever holds it gets to talk. And they each get to make their case, which is dumb because if everybody makes their case, you already know where everybody's voting.
Yes, exactly. The only one who doesn't really say anything, or at least it's not shown, is Priscilla. And it's like, we already talked about this before. We thought the deciding vote was going to come down to Priscilla, and it kind of seemed like it did.
Definitely did. And we'll get there when we get there, because like, and then Andrea just will not listen to like anybody else's.
She keeps on interrupting them,
and she yells at them. And I thought the funniest thing she kept yelling was that like, she was very concerned. I would say it is a definite legitimate concern when you have a African-American son, right?
Yes.
That has to worry about police and violence and things like that. I'm not going to say that's not a legitimate concern on her part.
Right.
I don't know if it's a more considered concern in LA than it is in Utah.
Because he's the only one. He definitely sticks out there.
Right. I don't know, like, if she gets the idea that the California cops are super racist and Utah cops aren't. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. Because you would kind of think strength in numbers a little bit, you know? Like, you're not the only one.
Right. I don't know, but I think she goes the other way. Like, if he's the only one, then when a cop sees him, she's like, oh, that's Tennyson. We know Tennyson's a good guy. Right? But when he goes to LA, he's just and I hate to say it like this, but this is the way she feels. He just blends in with all the thugs. And how are they supposed to know he's not one of them, you know?
Right. So her reasons why she doesn't want to live in LA, she specifically says, is she doesn't want to be shot. She doesn't want to live with the crackheads and the meth heads. And it's like, well, that's not all of LA. You know, like, just pick a better area of LA if that's really the concern.
It doesn't have to be like you live in South Central or you live nowhere in the rest of Southern California. Like,
there are suburbs of LA where, you know, you can compromise, you know, like, because Lamar says the reason why he wants to be in LA is because he's trying to finish school. That's where the recording studio is. And then, I don't know if I super agree with this, you know, but this is the chance. That's the opportunities he has to make it rich. And then Tennyson says, I get that.
I don't know, but there's a ton more opportunities to strike it rich for. I mean, there are, but there's also more people competing for those opportunities. So I don't know, but your chances of making it rich are notably better in LA than they are in, you know, in certain, if you're going for certain industries like music, movies, basically entertainment, then yeah, okay. There's going to be more opportunity in LA than there is in Utah. But if you're just generically looking for like strike it rich, you could own a car dealership in Utah. They exist.
Right. It seems kind of obvious that Nyla and Lamar are voting for LA. Although Nyla wants to live in California because she says there's more opportunities for her dance in school. But she even says she is really scared of voting for California because she thinks her mom's going to disown her.
Right.
And I think that's a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Because Andrea is crazy.
She is.
And she wants to get her way, and she is not happy when she doesn't get her way.
Right. And so then they get to it, and they put all the votes in Lamar's hat and are pulling it out. And the way Andrea is reading the votes is driving me crazy. She, like, pulls it out and is like, all right, vote one, L.A. Like, why are you screaming everything you're saying? What are you doing?
Because she's just extra. Everything about her is so extra.
She is. Yeah.
Definitely, I feel like this was very much staged, the way she pulled things out. Because, you know, it's like two votes for California, two votes for Utah, and then the cliffhanger.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, what is the fifth vote going to be?
And then they cut it away. And they leave it on a hanger for a while. But at the end of the day, the last vote is for LA. And as we suspect, the tie vote was the five-year-old deciding where the family is going to live based on two things. Did you catch those two things? What are the two things she picked for?
Beaches and Disney World. And I was like, oh, God.
It's not even Disney World.
No, it's not Disney World, but... Yeah, but she thinks that Disney World is there, and so she wants to be closer to Disney World. It's like, okay, but let's be real here. How often are you going to Disneyland, even in a year? Not any more or less than I think if you lived in Utah, because it's super expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a five-year-old, and she picked based on Disneyland. Like, that's...
Pretty much. Andrea is basically being super extra, super dramatic, and it's like, they just voted. This should be the end of it, but this is the reason why it's like she is so annoying. It's like, she thinks that it would be okay for someone to change their vote, so now she's taking it upon herself, now that she's seen she's lost, to try get everybody to change their mind.
Yeah, like, if anybody, it's like when somebody steals something from you, and you're the teacher, and you're like, listen, I don't care who took it, but I'm gonna go walk over here, and if it's back on my desk, I won't say anything else.
Yeah. So then she finally starts to accept how the vote went. And so she said, you know, I get it. I was really overprotective when we were in LA before. Okay, I'm willing to try this for a year. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, the kids already voted. You can't just keep on revoting every year because you didn't like the results.
Right. And you shouldn't, it's as rough as it is to move your kids, but to move them back and forth every year. For God knows how long, but she was okay with that 1 year because it's going to be 12. It's only 12 months and she wants to be pregnant for 9 of them.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty much her other concession, was like, I'll move to LA if I can be pregnant again, which is like, I don't know. I think it goes back to the thing we talked about before. She's a freak and she only can justify having sex unless she's trying to get pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Well, she did say something about the Holy Spirit or something, like, wants us to have kids and procreate when they were in that sex store earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of goes back to, does she really believe LA is that dangerous? Because now she says she wants to be pregnant in a dangerous area.
Right.
It's like, do you? So I kind of don't think that she really truly believes that. She's just saying that to get her way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know why she wants to have another kid, but she does make Lamar take a sperm count test.
Right, which I don't know why. What was the purpose of that?
Well, she's concerned that he doesn't have enough sperm because she said that he smoked a lot of marijuana when he was a kid and he was living off of prison processed food. So based on those two things, she thought that it might not be possible for her to conceive. It's like, you already had a kid.
We already had a kid with this dude.
Yeah, marijuana was way before that. You're further away from prison food.
So what was he going to do? I mean, what if it came back and you'd be like, oh, he has a low sperm count? Would she just be like, oh, divorce? Would she be like, well, no, you can't have sex now? I don't understand.
Maybe fertility treatments to kind of increase the chances, because it definitely seems like she wants the baby now.
But she made him take the test before they could have sex. Like, that was a condition of having sex, was that you had to do the sperm count test.
Yeah, right. Andrea, let's be real here. Like, you just want to have sex with him, so...
Which is fine. You can want to have sex with your husband. That is fine. You don't have to make excuses for it.
So their conclusion, I guess, their update, current update, says that they are living in LA trying for a baby.
Right. That's all it said. All right. Who next?
All right. Let's talk Brittany Marcelino.
Okay. I don't have much for them.
I don't either. And that's why I kind of said about them. So Brittany finds out that her request is denied to get information on her birth children.
Mm-hmm. And Marcelino kind of notices that one of the reasons that might have happened was because one of the checkboxes at the top had her cited for abuse and neglect.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and she claimed that was just Nevada, like, law. Like, if you have had a drug addiction, you got that box checked, no matter what you did with your kids, before, after, or during. Like, that was just the way it works, according to her.
So Marcelino, he thinks that things will get better over time because if, you know, more time has gone by, he thinks the kids are going to eventually come looking for her.
Right.
I think they might. And that's like fair. But I mean, are they even allowed to until they're 18? And like, how long is that? That's like another 6 years.
That's true. I don't think most of them would be, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like something a lot of people would do right when they turned 18 either.
Right.
Like, I've definitely, I've known people who have been in contact with children that were from, you know, a long time ago. And usually it's something that happens more like when everybody's different. And I'm sure there's some people who want to find their birth parents right when they're 18. And I'm sure there's other people who don't. But like, it tends to be something I think is more common once people have their own kids and like have a relationship with their own children, that they kind of start to be more curious and interested about about their parents. But, you know, like I said, it's everybody's different.
Yeah. So at this point, kind of shift gears a little bit. And we had kind of talked about, you know, the fact that we keep forgetting Brittany's pregnant.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, not enough time has gone by where we can actually see the birth. So the next best thing is a super basic bitch gender reveal party.
I'm okay. I'm okay with the basic bitch part of it. It's okay. You know, people oversell how bad being basic is. Basic is basic because it's just fun.
Because people like it.
Because people like it. Exactly. I'm not a huge gender reveal party person myself. I disliked the gender reveal nature of it more than I disliked the basicness of it.
Okay. So what made it basic bitch is that they had Team Blue or Team Pink. And then this is just scary to me. They give everyone like those popper things.
Yeah, the party poppers.
Giant party poppers that like projectile shoot in the air. And it's like, I don't know if you can trust that many people that close together doing that. Yeah. I feel like this is a recipe for injury.
It could be. I'm sure it's happened. It's happened. Somebody's going to shoot their eye out.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking of is I was watching Miz and Mrs., which is Mike the Miz from WWE and his wife Maryse. And they did a gender reveal. And granted, it was probably staged, but he ended up popping it upside down and basically shot into his groin.
In a crotch, right. Uh-huh, yeah.
So, I mean, those are the kinds of like...
Yes.
Things I envision happening going wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it ends up that it's a boy. Yay, and Marcelino is super thrilled. Actually, it's kind of funny that Brittany thought for sure it was a boy because she had gone boy, girl, boy, girl. So she thought it was boy. So she's keeping that pattern alive.
I mean, I hope she doesn't really believe that. Because like, because
that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Sure. I went to a casino once and was like, you know, playing on the roulette wheel. I put something on like black or something, right? Just because I was messing around. Usually I play craps, but I know it's a stupid game, right? And I had like a dude. I don't know what it is about me when I go into gambling establishments, but all the crazy people want to explain to me their methods. And so I put something on like black, and he was like, no, dude, I look at the back. He like busted out like the chart that he was keeping of when the reds and the blacks came up, and was like, see, look, if it's four blacks in a row, I have a five reds. And I was like, okay, guy, thanks. Like, yeah, it happens to me there. It happens to me at the horse track. Like every time I go to the horse track, somebody explains to me like what their thought process was about this horse's quarter time like 3 weeks ago. I'm like, thanks, guy.
I just picked the one that has the coolest name.
I mean, yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I usually pick about like, what's the amount of money I'd want to win? I want to win like $30. So they put one that's going to be like a 15-1 and put $2 on him. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's usually my thought process.
Yeah, that seems good.
But yeah, I don't know anything about horse racing, but man, I guess I look like I do because people explain that to me. But I definitely had been in casinos and had people explain to me why black was due. And I was like, uh-huh, sure.
I've literally never had that happen to me. So Brittany smears cake all over Marcelino's face because after they do the poppers, they do the cake, which is blue on the inside. And I was like, oh gosh, what do you do in that situation? You can't divorce them at this point.
It's too late for an annulment. And she's carrying your child. She's got you cornered.
I'm going to give you a pass, Brittany, because you're the pregnant one in this case. But had it been the other way around, believe there would have been consequences of some kind.
Right.
Yeah. You are changing the diaper for the first year.
Mm-hmm. After the first year, though, Marcelino is like, shop's closed. We're done.
Yep. That's it. We're done. Factory's closed. So Gio says that he's super happy that he's going to have a brother, and he has the cutest little lipstick stain on his cheek. Did you see that? It looks like everybody's been kissing
Gio.
All the grandmas.
All the auntie pinching his cheeks and kissing him on the cheeks.
He is an adorable kid, though. All right, and that was pretty much it for them. They didn't really give us an update.
Yes, they did. They said they were anxiously awaiting their baby boy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which we know she had the baby. We talked about that last week.
Yes, in December.
Right.
Yes, because after that, she was seen smoking a cigarette and people were calling her out. And she was like, joke's on you, people. I had my baby in December.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk Angela and Tony.
Oh, goodness. This shouldn't surprise anyone.
No. No. Not at all. I mean, some things about the wedding were surprising. So we start with the wedding, right?
Right.
And we kind of start with, we left off last time. Angela was like, I don't even want to marry the dude because he was feeling up the stripper at the strip club.
Yeah.
And he's like, maybe I overreacted.
Right. That's true.
Tony's hiding in the sheets because they can't see each other.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cute. So he unlocks the door and runs to the bed and like goes under the covers. And I was like, what the hell is he doing? I like couldn't figure it out. And then he says, oh, it's our wedding day. We can't see each other. And so Angela goes straight to who's hiding under there with you. So she's like feeling around like under the covers just to make sure there's only one body under there.
Right. But yeah, because at some point they have the thing. That's when she apologizes to him. And then he's like, you know what? I think Angela would forgive me for anything.
So he said this the first time that he got caught. And so as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, no, shit's going down in this episode. I already knew as soon as he said that, I was like, he is going to do some dumb shit because this is, like I said, this is complete deja vu.
He gets confident.
Yeah, he gets confident. Like, she will never leave me. I can do whatever I want. And mm-hmm. So I am going to do whatever I want, and she will just accept it. So he said that he didn't cheat when he was at the strip club, but he did get a handful of ass.
I mean, I think it depends on who you talk to about whether or not that constitutes cheating.
Well, given what he's done in the past, yeah, I guess in the spectrum of things.
On the scale of things that he's actually done, yeah,
right.
Maybe not. Yeah. But I can't think of very many, even in the context of strip club, I can't think of very many women that are going to be like, oh, you just grab the stripper's ass. I'm okay with that. That's fine.
Yeah. And it was more like caressing. There was a lot of caressing.
If the phrase was, I just grabbed a handful of ass, I don't see very many women being like, oh, that's all?
That's fine. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we find out that Angela's actually been married before, but she didn't actually plan her wedding. Mm-hmm. So now she got to plan her wedding, so she's really excited for it. And she wants to feel the love flow through her. So her friends, they're telling her that, you know, just because she found him alone doesn't mean he didn't cheat on her. And her sister says, you know, it's inevitable. It's going to happen that he's going to cheat on you. So pretty much everybody is saying, what are you doing? He's going to cheat on you. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
Look, Tommy's still in love with you. You could either go down that road or you may want to just be cautious because we think Tommy's going to interfere with the wedding.
Right. So they kind of made a thing out of that. Watching Tommy. Put a camera on Tommy.
Yeah.
Get Tommy. He's got his Bono glasses on. Watch out.
Gosh. Tommy doesn't think that Tony is done with his experimenting. But then at the same time, he's just like, okay, what else can I do? I've already told Angie, like, all I've told her, you know, and I've tried to have a talk into Tony, you know, what can I do?
Everybody knows how I feel.
Yeah. So we get to the wedding. Angela has her son, Cody, and I thought it was really sweet. She said to him, like, he's always her number one. We've never seen Cody before.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, always is always her number one? Because you just appeared out of nowhere, buddy.
Yes. Like, but I mean, he is an adult. So, sure. I mean, but okay. But at the same time, if this guy, if Cody is her number one, I want to know what he thinks of Tony. Because what happens when you're number one doesn't right. like your number two? And I feel like that has happened a few times. And we always get parents that say that they care about their kids and what they think. But then when it really comes down to it, they'll still pick their partners.
That's true.
So what does Cody think about all of this?
He's there. So, I mean, it can't be the worst situation we've seen.
Okay.
How about that officiant, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I have to say something about Tony, though.
Okay.
We can get back to the fishing if you have more to say about that. He does not have a mono face in this episode. I was like, really like, have you been like trying to act every day up until today?
Do smiling exercises in the mirror?
I don't know, but it was so bizarre. I was like, he actually had expressions on his face. They actually matched what he was saying. I was like, okay, Tony doesn't have mono face wedding day. All right.
All right. Yeah, he seemed excited. He seemed excited.
Yes. He was smiling. Like, yeah. We don't really see him smile. Or what he does, it's like a half smile. So it like maintains his mono face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could not. I just kept staring at that officiant, though, because he had like a giant beard, spiky hair, and like a nice suit. It was like his head didn't match the rest of his body.
Yeah.
He was there. I mean, it was pretty appropriate for the like, kind of people they both are, to be honest. But I was just like, oh, how did this guy get a license to do it? Good for him. Good for this guy.
The officiant, he asks if there's any objections and then does a dramatic pause, even though he says, well, too bad, you know. Yeah. And so they move on. But they definitely did pan in on Tommy.
Talking
like,
Tommy.
Tommy, yeah. Are you going to object?
Right.
Yeah. So then Tony gives his vows, and I'm like, there is no way this guy wrote those vows. He read them off of something.
He did. Somebody helped him.
Yes. There's no way generously. He could have been that articulate. There's no way.
He read those things and then stopped like he was a kid that went poo-poo on the potty. Like, look at me. I did it. I'm a big boy. I made my vows.
Oh,
look
my
at
gosh.
Me. He was just so self-satisfied with those vows.
They were good, but he obviously did not write them. It was too intellectual and articulate for him to have written them. Angela says her vows, and then in her interview, she says she wants to send a message to the bitches, the prostitutes, and the insta-hoes. Tony is hers.
It's ominous like, oh, foreshadowing.
God. I know, right? So then we get to the reception. And Tommy says something supportive. He says he doesn't think it's the end and he's probably drunk. Actually, I know.
Oh,
Tommy's really
drunk. He
was
sloshed.
He is wasted. But he didn't ruin the wedding. I mean, his speech didn't make sense. It didn't add to anything.
But it was more or less the message was I'm happy for you guys. Like it wasn't trying to bend it. It didn't add anything. But I mean, if the drunk guy who is still in love with the bride just says, congratulations, you guys. Like, you got away with one there.
Right. So Angela says that she loves Tommy. Tony says he loves Tommy, too. And so actually, their wedding was very pretty. Mm-hmm. I actually really liked their wedding. I like beach weddings in general. So I thought it was pretty well done. So impressed with it.
Yeah.
But then 2 days later.
2 days later. And it was funny because the way this happened was in the middle of an unrelated interview with Angela. Because they asked her like a really banal question like, oh, so how does it feel being married? And she was like, wait a second. As she scrolls through the phone. Yeah.
So she basically took Tony's SIM card from his phone. And we've seen her do this trick before this season. And she puts it into her phone so that way she bypasses the passcode lock situation.
Right.
And she does it because she's suspicious because he's acting kind of shady.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she finds something.
Yeah, of course. If you're going to look, you know you're going to find something. And it's more conversations with more hookers that go back. She's going back, goes back weeks. And then she calls him, and I don't know how she calls him without the SIM card in her phone. Did she just put the SIM card in, get the messages, and then put his SIM card back in his phone? Because she calls
maybe.
Him. How did she call him without the SIM card in the phone?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe she downloaded them somehow. I don't know how you would do that exactly, but maybe she downloaded them to her phone to read them later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then that does seem kind of staged because it's like, that seems odd timing.
Why would she wait until she was like at
in the middle of an interview
right, to do it? But she calls and he's like screaming at her, why'd you take my shit out of my phone? And then she's screaming at him and they're both screaming nonsense at each other.
Right. I did hear stick your vows up your ass. I did hear that much.
Okay. I think I missed that. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. But she tells him to get out and don't be there when I get back.
Right. Yeah. She changes the locks on her door and she tells us that she didn't file for the marriage certificate. So good for her. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Sharp paid for the wedding.
Uh-huh.
So she probably didn't have to put that much money into it. She could pretty much got a cool party for free. And, you know, she's not stuck with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he definitely would have bled her dry.
If you never file it, you're not married? Is that how that works?
Yeah, pretty much.
Weird. That's a weird quirk of a law. So before we were done, did you catch the commercial thing with Tony?
Yes. The containment expert, you mean?
Yes. Who's somebody who's used to some social isolation giving us some tips.
Yes.
Right.
Right. He says you should just work out, write letters, talk on the phone. He's like, I personally worked out. It kept my sanity. And it was like, yeah, you did. Because as soon as he got out of jail, he got fat.
Well, yep. I think that's super common for that to happen, actually.
That's true. Yeah, we kind of talked about I have a friend that happened when he went to jail for a year. He came out and he was like super fit. And then probably about a year later, he's super fat again.
It also happens to, I see it happen a lot to people who were athletes in college, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they graduate college and it's just like bloop. Because they just...
Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Even our 90 Day Fiance, George of Georgian and Fisa, he looks just amazingly different. Oh, and I guess it ends up that, and I know this is the wrong podcast, but he finally got his social media back. And so I guess we'll be seeing more of his slimmer physique. But I have a feeling that he's going to have the same situation where once he gets out, you know, it's not going to be right away, but maybe in a couple years, he's going to be fat again.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, so I appreciated Tony giving us some tips on his social isolation.
I feel like everybody's doing that anyway, except for I think we have an added bonus of we actually have entertainment like podcasts and streaming shows. So, yeah, I don't know if I could work out 8
hours a day. I'm definitely not working out as much as I as much as
I know,
could be.
Right?
I always like, I'll do working out that and it's like, oh, no. It's much easier. It's actually much easier to work out when you're like, when I get home from work, I will go for a run. Like, and that's when you do it. Like,
but to motivate yourself from nothing, it's like very difficult.
Exactly.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so then we find that Tony is living in a hotel.
Yep.
She's done. He's not going to drag her down. And hopefully she sticks with it.
I hope she does.
All right. So I think last we have Megan, Michael, Sarah.
Oh, we also have to cover Clint and Tracy.
Oh, right. Let's go Clint and Tracy first, because theirs is always so sad to me.
It is so sad. I mean, yeah, it was sad.
Tracy says she wants to go to rehab, but I feel like she's just saying it because that's what she thinks everybody wants to hear.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like she might actually want to, but...
But doesn't. Yeah, her addiction, she knows.
Yeah, I think she wants to go to rehab because it will make everybody happy, but I don't think she wants to not be addicted anymore, right?
Right.
Because she says this a lot, and we're kind of jumping around, but she keeps saying how scared she is.
Yeah.
And I think she's not scared of the rehab specifically. She's scared of, like, I don't want to live a life where I don't have this way to deal with my problems. Like that.
I don't even think it's that. I think that something that a lot of people that are addicts struggle with and the first major hurdle is the withdrawals.
Oh, yeah. That's true, too. Fair enough. The actual physically detoxifying yourself. Yes.
Right. And I think, like, if she's been through it before, she knows it's going to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, if anything, wants her to not avoid that situation. So
that's true, too. Well, because I've also known I've known somebody who has, you know, been dealing with ex-addicts and stuff. And one thing that always comes up is they oftentimes will complain about, like, physical aches and pains. Just be like, what? My shoulder hurts. And we're just like, yeah, everybody's shoulder hurts all the time. That's just life. You've just been covering that up for your entire life.
Right,
like,
and you
didn't
know.
This sucks. Like, yeah.
So Tracy is seeming really remorseful and trying to make things better with her and Clint. She says that she's sorry for all the time she ghosted him. She says that her motivation for going back to rehab is she's looking back on her life and realizing that it wasn't good. Mm-hmm. So they're driving there and Alice calls, Alice, Clint's mom. And Alice is super supportive. And I think it's really sweet considering Alice, let's be real, does not like Tracy.
No.
She doesn't want them to be together. I mean, she thinks she's a nice enough girl, but she just thinks Clint and Tracy just shouldn't even be involved with one another. So yeah. I think it's really nice that she's being supportive.
Right. I mean, I don't know that she would say she doesn't like Tracy specifically, but she doesn't like this relationship. Like, she's like, clearly she's not good for you and clearly you're not good for her. So this is not working. Like, you have to cut it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was surprisingly supportive. You know, everybody loves you. We all think you're going to do great. And like, yeah, we're here for you when you need it. So good for her, I guess.
Yep. So they're driving to Texas for rehab. So Tracy says she wants her and Clint's relationship to basically start over. She says she's mad at the world, but she doesn't really know why, because the world hasn't really done anything to her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to learn to deal with her emotions and life without using. So then Tracy says she's feeling hopeless and scared. So then Clint says something kind of idiotic. He says, "Don't worry, babe," or I should say my goddess, "you're going to be part of the 2% that is the success story."
That's a bad thing to say. No.
What in the world are you saying to her? You're basically saying that this is hopeless.
Right.
But no, you're going to be the winner.
Yeah, it's one thing to be like, "I believe you can do this." Like,
yeah.
You're strong enough and I have faith and confidence in you, without being like, "But don't forget, most people fail." Like,
yeah, like, you're an idiot. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
That is the least comforting thing.
It really
is.
I was
very confused why he even said that.
Yeah, how do you say 2% without the other person not hearing 98%?
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Oh my gosh, Clint, you're an idiot. So she's excited about having the clean slate. And then Clint says rehab is hard. And it was like, does he know this from firsthand? I wonder if Clint has been to rehab.
Yeah, good question.
Because it seems like something his parents would have paid for.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Which, I mean, it didn't. Which is why he would also know how often does rehab work. Seems like he was.
Yeah. Why would you throw out that number? And where did that number come from? Did you just make it up or did you hear it somewhere? When you were in rehab.
Like when you were in rehab. Exactly.
So he has faith that it's going to be good. And so he's proud of her with all the effort she's put in. So he drops her off. And then we find out through one of the text updates that Tracy left rehab after one day.
Right. It was like as they were still there. She 24 hours later, she left rehab. It's like,
yeah.
Oh.
Right. Then this kind of goes back to my theory that she just doesn't want the withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that would be within that first 24-hour period.
Yeah, as soon as it was physically uncomfortable, she was like, I'm out. I'm done. That's what I'm saying. Dealing with physical discomfort is a thing that sucks. It does suck.
Right. So he says that the only thing that's going to keep him apart is if he dies. It's like, really?
If he dies?
I don't think so. Yeah, that's what he said. And I was kind of like, false, because currently Tracy, we find out in the updates that she did go back eventually and that she had a 45-day rehab stay, which seems pretty close to completing a program. How long are those programs usually?
Yeah, I thought it said she completed a 45 whatever day program. I thought the word completed was in there on the card.
Okay, so she completed her 45-day rehab stay. And we found out, like, in more recent months through social media that she has been kind of living her best life. She looks good. She's been hanging out at the casinos, gambling a little bit. She won some money. And then that's when it kind of came out that her and Clint are no longer together and that he is seeing someone else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure, Clint.
Yeah, I think it's still weirdly thing, because I thought maybe it was somebody else. I thought I saw something where she had changed her social media picture again and Clint was in the picture.
Oh.
And people are trying to read tea leaves and like.
It's hard to tell. There are definitely some couples that are very yo-yo couples.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those tend to be the ones that don't really have friends. And because, you know, we kind of talked about this in this week's 90 Day Fiancé one. It's like, if you have friends that see that you kind of have this volatile relationship, usually they'll try to talk you out of it. Like, haven't we been there before? Haven't we done this?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, really, all Clint has is his parents. He doesn't have anyone else. I've never seen a friend of Clint. I think his ex-wife was on the last season, and it was because she is his boss. She was his manager.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But other than that, I've never seen a friend of Clint.
Yeah, everybody else, they make him dig somebody out. Like, make a big somebody. I said, somebody's got to be your friend. Like, get them on the show. Like,
it's really only his mom. I mean, his dad is barely in the show.
Mm-hmm.
His dad clearly wants no part of it. And right. then Tracy doesn't have any friends because she was in jail and she moved to be in New Mexico with Clint. So definitely I feel like if the both of them had a bigger support system, that they would not keep coming back to one another.
Right. That makes sense.
All right. We've got Megan, Michael, Sarah. And this time we actually have Megan.
I know.
In the show.
I know. Maria still didn't get a card. Poor Maria.
I know. She made the whole season without getting stinking card. I feel like she deserved it. She was more in it than Megan.
Yeah, I don't know. The first half was pretty Megan happy, heavy. All right. But anyway, yes. Megan. We have Megan.
Right. Megan. What dumbass song about lemons was she singing? I was like, the fuck is this song? It was awful. And I'm talking about the song itself. Megan actually is she's got a nice voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's special in any way. Like, I think she would have a difficult time, like,
pretty
making
generic.
It in industry. Yeah. But, I mean, she can sing. It right. appears that way. About lemons, apparently.
I feel like she was just like, Beyonce had Lemonade a few years ago. Let's just go with that. Lemons.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, Michael had plans to see Megan in the studio. And so, he just shows up.
Yeah. I feel like it's weird. Like, it's not like the studio guys were like, yo, why did you just wander into our studio? Like,
right. Yeah. And then she's questioning why he's even there because he's been distant. But he also thinks that she deserves a face-to-face. She deserves to be graced with my presence so I can tell her in person what's going on.
But he doesn't even have an answer for what's going on. I guess
no,
he kind of does.
No, idea.
No, he does. He's bad at breaking up because is supposed to be a breakup and he is not clear about that.
No, but I mean, that's intentional, you know, because
yeah,
he's always trying to keep someone on the hook. I mean, he's even said this. Mm-hmm. He's trying to keep everybody on the hook so that way, you know, if he needs to circle back because he finds himself in a situation where he's by himself, he'll have options. So he'll never be alone.
Right. So, yeah. So she asked him why did you go ghost, which is weird. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say go ghost. Ghosting? Yes.
Yeah.
But go ghost, I've never heard.
Right. So she says she like wants him to put actions behind his words.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's hella busy. My question is, with what? You don't have a job. You don't take care of your kids. You're like, busy with freaking what?
Yeah, nothing.
No.
He's busy trying to get these women, get these females. That's what he's busy with.
Oh, my gosh.
But like, so that's what the funny thing too is, because he does say, I'm in a relationship with somebody. With
right.
And that's when Maria. That's like the first Megan had even like heard of Maria. She was like, who is Maria? And how are you in a relationship with her in a month? Like, what are you talking about?
So she knew that he had another guy or another girl because remember when they were in the hotel room when Michael was really sick and they had that kind of confrontation?
Uh-huh.
She was asking, is there anyone else? And to Michael's credit, he didn't lie. He said, yeah, there is. And so, I mean, she can't be surprised because he said back then that, he was seeing someone.
Mm-hmm.
But... yes, you're right that she had never heard of Maria's name. So she had no idea. And maybe in her mind, she just thought, oh, he's seeing other people, but didn't think that it was serious enough to be a relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So she asks him how long this has been going on. And so Michael is super vague. He says, oh, it's only been a minute. It's like, that's not a time. Like, that's not a valid time, at least.
It is a time, but he was using it figuratively.
It's been a minute. So Megan's like, okay, let's back up and figure out our timeline here. I want to see if there's overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that he should have told her before the relationship happened with him and Maria and not after.
Right.
Especially because she's, saying that you told me you loved me a month ago and then
right.
you just fall
and
off.
And I just left. And then that's when he tries to be like, well, I'm in a relationship, but I'd still like to be friends. I'd still like to talk. And she was like, to her credit, she was like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. She says he did her dirty, which is like, yes. He really, really did. But at the same time, like, how could she expect anything else?
Right.
He saw how she treated Sarah.
Yeah.
It's like, how are any of these women confused? It's like, you saw how he was when you saw how he treated the mother of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still continuing to blame her, Sarah, for, keeping him away from the kids. And how he treats everyone is just so gross to me.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, yeah. But that's the thing, too, is like Megan, Sarah, they're all like digmatized. It's like they will come back.
They would. They would. If he picked up the phone, they'd come back. And that's what's it's just so weird. I don't get it.
What? He is not a prize.
No, I don't at all.
Yeah.
But I feel like the past few weeks we've kind of gotten more of insight into Sarah that makes, like, you know, she was your dunce last week because it's like,
yeah.
And so this week when she came up, I was like, I don't trust you. I don't trust what you're saying. Like, and that was,
I agree,
a first thing that happened this time. Because, okay, so then we just jump. Next time we see him, he's in Miami with Maria, where they're, yes, living together. He's, yeah, never lived on his, I don't think, dude has never paid rent.
No, right? He definitely hasn't. Absolutely not. I was going to say, so Maria in Miami actually looks a lot better. Mm-hmm. She, like, has her makeup done. She's, like, wearing cutesy clothes. I was like, okay, Maria isn't as, I don't know, unattractive as I originally thought she was.
Uh-huh. I feel like part of it is that every time we saw Maria in New York, she was like laying in a hotel bed. And I feel like that's not a flattering look for anybody, because you're kind of like laying and you're kind of sitting and your chin is down. And like, so it's, yeah, like, it's definitely like the dumpy. And then she was like in sweats like the whole, yes, time. Like, so.
Yeah, she was definitely in sweats the whole time. And I don't think she had a stitch of makeup on.
Right.
Because you could tell because her eyebrows were really thin. Like in New York. And then when she was in Miami, you could tell that she had actually like made an attempt to fill them in some point.
Okay.
Yeah. So Maria, she's like feeling good about their relationship. She says she has the passcode of his phone. She feels confident in what they have is real. And it's kind of like, why do you need a passcode in his phone?
Right.
It's like, that should tell you something.
Did Mike finally figure out how to buy a burner? Is that what's going on? Like,
oh gosh, maybe. Or he has a decoy phone. I swear my, right, students do that for me.
Oh, let me see your phone. Oh, here's,
oh yeah, yeah, this one. Here's my decoy phone. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Kind of like, well, all the kids have the fake Instagrams now, right? Like they have the one Instagram that their parents.
Instagrams.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so he didn't get to see the girls before he left New York.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, based on how things went down that night, it was a good idea of him not to go to Sarah's house the next day.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
would not have been a good idea.
No, but Sarah, like, she was so desperate to get him in the car in the last episode.
Uh-huh.
She really wanted some kind of sign that he would have picked her over Maria, and she just didn't get that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what she said. The final straw was when Michael left New York without even saying goodbye.
Right. And that was a bunch of crocodile tears about like, oh, it's the girls. And they asked, did daddy die? And I was like, no, they didn't. Like, come on. No, they didn't. Like, and why would you think after you went and had a fight with him, a loud police got called fight, that the next day he was going to show up at your door? Why would he do that? He,
yeah,
wouldn't. It'd be dumb. And to act like that was an offensive thing to the girls. It's like, no, yeah, didn't like it. Especially because what we saw Michael doing in Miami was making like a fun video of like, oh, look at the beach. I'm on the beach. Hey, baby. Like, to send to the girls. And she's like, he doesn't even contact you. Like, we know he contacts the girls. We know he sent them a video.
Right.
I don't know. I was a little distracted at that part because he had underwear on under his bathing suit. And I was like, what are you doing, man? Jeez.
I feel like some people do that. I don't know. Maybe he had no plan of actually getting in the water.
But they have the built-in liner, like, and they were cotton underwear. Like, that's not...
I can't pretend I know things about men's swimwear, but...
You don't want wet cotton anywhere near back there. That is not good.
Okay, yeah, that's enough that I can, yeah, see what you're talking about. Yeah, so he wants to put his past behind him and move forward with Maria. And he thinks that these women have been holding him back. Once again... Holding him back from what?
From what?
You're not doing anything with your life. Holding you back from whoring around, having the threesomes that you're probably having with Maria because she keeps on talking about them. Mm-hmm. Like, what are these women holding you back from?
Yeah, what is it that you want to be doing? Okay, so we kind of go back. I think we end at Sarah, right?
Yeah.
Like, Sarah said something that you hear a lot, and it wasn't until I heard it now that I was like, wait a second. I don't think that makes any sense. And then she says, I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. And I don't know how that makes you feel better. Like,
no,
I don't understand how it's like, well, I knew it happened for a reason. So that helps me get through. Sometimes things just happen. And I don't understand how thinking it serves a larger purpose.
What reason is this for you to get like punished for something?
Or like, I think people kind of think you have to go, you know, through the darkness to come back to the light or something. And I just don't.
Because I can't imagine she's in a good place right now.
No. And so I don't, she said it and I was like, I would actually feel better just knowing like, you know what? Sometimes random bad shit happens and sometimes it doesn't. And we're just going to keep moving on. That makes me feel better than thinking there was some grand plan that involved this horrible thing happening to me. Like that sounds terrible. Ugh.
Maybe her silver lining is that she's getting paid for the drama.
Maybe.
Yeah. So then we get an update on them. So Megan's still working on her music. Michael is living with Maria in Miami. And Sarah and Michael are still legally married.
Yeah, that's some bullshit too. Like she could make that. She could finish that at this point. Like, like we're running out of time where all she has to do is be like, listen, he hasn't responded to this paperwork yet. It's done. Here it goes.
She's definitely using it as a way to hold on.
She's trying to hold on. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, goodness. All right. So that was pretty much the finale.
That was it.
Yeah. Okay. What about your student of the week?
My student of the week was Lamar.
Okay.
Because unlike my dunce, he won and didn't like rub it in. Like he was fine with it. He was like, yay, I won. We're going to LA, but wasn't like, that's right. I was right. And we're going like Andrea would have been like Andrea. If it was Utah, she'd have rubbed it in his face.
Oh, she absolutely would have. She would have said like, oh, we're going to be so safe. Just watch. Like, you're going to love it here because Utah is amazing. You all picked the right place. And yeah, you're right. She definitely would have rubbed it in.
Uh-huh.
So funny that you should say that your student of the week is Lamar because my student of the week was Nyla. And I said for not letting her mom influence her vote and recognizing how immature the vote was in the first place.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right. How about your dunce?
My dunce was Angela. I mean, for obvious reasons, like, you know, how idiotic is it that everybody warned you and literally 2 days later, and it's not even because 2 days had gone by, it's because you only found out 2 days
later. Right, she had said it was been weeks. It had been weeks, right.
Yeah. So you only find out 2 days later that basically what everybody had been telling you was true. And I feel like she did know.
Mm-hmm.
She had to have known. That's why she even broke into his phone.
Yep.
All of that. Right. What about your dunce?
My dunce was John.
Just
for the opposite reason of Lamar. He won and couldn't stop rubbing it in the other guy's face.
Yeah, fair.
And just was a huge jerk the whole time.
Yeah. Like,
enough that if I was Lacey, and I really couldn't imagine myself being Lacey, but if I was transported like quantum leap style into Lacey in that situation, I'd have been like, I'm done with both of you. Like, I don't want either of these people. Get out. Both get out. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about your life lesson?
All right. So this one, we kind of did it as a thing. And I've mentioned it before that I didn't mind the basic nature of the gender reveal party. But I'm not a huge fan of gender reveal parties. And especially the way Marcelino was going with it is don't get like invested of the gender of your unborn children. Like, oh, I have a boy. I'm done. Like, not all boys are going to be like you want them to. Not all boys are going to stay boys. Like, that's okay. You just have to.
True.
I don't know. It's such a weird thing that people obsess over about their children that you can't control. And
that is an interesting thought about the whole, like, they won't always stay boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people consider that kind of thing. All right. My life lesson is you should look at someone's track record. And I understand that people change and they can change. But at the same time, you should not be surprised if you were part of the pattern. So I feel like that applies to a couple of the couples on this show. You know, it's like they're shocked when it's like history is repeating itself. Like, how did this happen?
Yeah. Oh, who would have ever thought the person that cheated with somebody else to get together with me is now cheating on me?
I know, right?
I can't imagine that. Oh, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to say once a cheater, always a cheater. But at the same time, the surprise shouldn't be there if it happens again.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. All right, so this is it until the summertime, it seems like.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll pick right back up in the summertime. But in the meantime, on this channel, we will be covering Love is Blind, which is a Netflix show. And so we will be covering one episode a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are 10 episodes and then one finale.
Right.
So tell-all finale.
You can watch them while we do them. You can watch them ahead of time. You can be behind us, whatever. It's like the nice thing about the Netflix show is they're, I think when it first came out, it was like 3 weeks, I think. Like they leave some and then some of the some. But by now, they're all available right. on Netflix.
By the time it started gaining momentum, all the episodes were out. Because I feel right. like I hadn't even really heard of it until the tell-all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, should be an interesting ride. So, we'll go ahead and get started on that. Probably next week, we'll probably have our first episode out on here.
Yep. That's the plan.
All right. So, until then.
Until then. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.